the road marked with suffering, but with me in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will sing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name.
Great are you, Lord, and all the earth. There is definitely none like the Lord. For anything else that we prop up in His place will come crashing down eventually. You know, it's been kind of crazy this week. I've had unfortunate reports of people seeing sleet and snow already. And maybe that goes hand in hand with the sermon today called Handling the Stress of the Mess, because it seems like things will get worse before they get better. But for a lot of us, there's a lot of craziness going on in our world and around us each and every day. And let's just center ourselves around the Lord and all that He is, and let that replace all that we aren't and all that this world is incapable of producing. So let's go before Him in prayer this morning. Father God, I thank You so much for this great day that You've given to us. We have a beautiful place to gather together as Your church in a building that has heat and air conditioning and all those neat things. It's got enough space for us to spread out and worship together. But the greatest thing about it is where two or three are gathered together in Your name, You are there with them. And Lord, we know that through the presence of Your Holy Spirit, we are never alone, that we always have You right there when we need You. And You're always there with us wherever we go. And unfortunately, we take You some places that probably You would not venture on Your own. And so, Lord, we just ask that You'd forgive us for those things, that You'd forgive us for our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as You seek us out and You search us from top to bottom, inside and out, and You look at all of our life, that those things that are unpleasing to You, that dishonor You and dishonor what Jesus Christ You have done on the cross for us, may You bring them to our attention, and may we have the courage to stand with You instead of standing with sin. For You, Lord Jesus, died on the cross to save wretches like me. And if You can save someone like me, there isn't a person listening to this message this morning that can't find that same hope and deliverance that You have given. Lord, I just ask that You would have Your way with us. And Lord, if things get worse before they get better, may we lean and trust You more each day. whether it be health or politics or church or world, Lord, we just ask that you would have your way and your kingdom come and your will be done in us, through us, until we see you face to face. In Jesus' precious and holy name, all God's people said, amen. All right, I've made mention and primed the pump a couple times. Finish this sentence for me. Things are going to get worse before they get better. That's an old saying that's been around even longer than Mary Bulkins. But the great thing about it is a steadfast and true statement that no matter what you face in life, even if things are getting worse and you think that it can't get any worse, but it does, things are always going to get better. You know, they might not get better right here, right now. They might not get better the way that we want. They might not get better as soon as we wish. But one of the things that's really awesome to know is that there will come a day when everything will be not just better, it will be perfect. And this side of God's kingdom, this side of His glory, His presence forever with us, we aren't going to be there. And we should always have this longing and desire within us for that time to see Him face to face and see what He can do. When He transforms everything that has been broken and fallen apart and transforms it into something magnificent and perfect that's far beyond we could ever dream or imagine, He's going to do those things. But in the meantime, while it seems like life is falling apart, we make all kinds of decisions that keep us off course from what He desires, there is the constant fact that He is with us and He will work these things out. A lot of times you guys look at me, why you got to be negative all the time, Vince? You always bring up the fact that things can get worse and may get worse. But I keep reminding us all the time that things are going to get better. They're not going to get better, just better. They're going to get to be the best. They're going to be perfect. And whatever situation you're in, it's going to become better in the hands of the Lord. And that's the most positive thing I could ever say with my life. When things are bad, they can always get worse, but in time with Jesus, they will always get better. When things are at their absolute worst and you don't think you can carry on, they have to get better. And there's an old saying, the only way to go is up. Every difficult trial and hardship you have or will ever face will never be wasted by God. He will use them to make you stronger, make you better, to show His presence in your life. But also, very importantly, He's going to use you to help someone through the same difficult thing you're going through. You know, you look over the years in this church, no one understands grieving better than someone who has grieved. So when someone loses a husband, someone loses a wife, someone loses a family member, that allows people to gather who have lost them, lost some family members before, to gather around them and show them love and compassion and kindness and care. And that's one of the unique things, is that God doesn't waste difficulty or hardship or pain or loss. He uses it to help better each and every one of us and better the family of God. And you know, to be honest, most things work themselves out in their own time. Sometimes we get by with a little help from our friends, as the old song goes. Sometimes it's with our family. Sometimes it's through the help of the church. Sometimes it's with people in the community. You know, people look at me like I'm crazy. Why on earth did you have 4 kids? Well, to be perfectly honest, I might need a kidney or a liver transplant one of these days, and I'm thinking the odds are in my favor if I can get one of them to give up half of a liver. Hi, Rachel. I love you so much. You're my favorite child this morning. You're here with me. And if I ever need half a liver, I'm hoping you're A positive because that puts you in the same category with me. I got a chance. We always have people around us to help us out. The question is, are we going to be the type of people to help one another out? And the beautiful thing is we've got God there to help us each and every day, no matter what we face. You know, all things get better quicker when we turn to the best source for help. When my neck was problematic and I had to go in and have surgery. I went to the Rockford Spine Clinic and was introduced to Dr. Sweet. He's got Dr. House's personality, but he was a really great guy to work with. He was straightforward and no nonsense. He just said, this is what you got to do, this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it, and it's going to be fine, and you're going to get out of here and go on with your life. And I'm like, okay, you're the man. And it worked out great. And if you have a toothache, you go to the dentist. If you've got a problem with your colon or pooping, you see a proctologist. Those are two people you never want to mess up when you're having issues. Because one can help you and one can't. And one's got to take a long route to get the situation rectified. That was good too. Sorry. Lord. I wonder why he created me most days. And all God's people said, amen, yeah. But you know, you got to know who to go to find help with the problem that you have in your time of need. And a lot of time, if you wait too long to get help, things can arise that get worse further and further down the line. A sore tooth usually is a sign of a cavity, but left too long and unattended, it becomes a root canal or even an extraction. You have to know where to turn. You talk to friends and to family when you have issues coming up. Who do I turn to? Who do I go see? And you trust them because they've been down that road and you've seen them go down that road. You know, when I moved Jared into the cabin, I left him a list of who to contact if things go wrong. I think I told you, I left him a note. And I said, if something goes wrong with your car, call Merle or Kim Bassard. Talk to them. They'll help you get it figured out. If there's a problem with the cabin, call Merle. If there's a problem with the lawnmower, first of all, hit it with a hammer. If that doesn't cause it to start, call Merle or Tom Rapp. If you're starving because you've run out of food, Grandma's only 30 minutes away. If she's not home, call Lorraine, Merle's wife. They'll take care of you. Or Don Hall, he's always willing to feed anybody. When it came to the church, I said, you've got choices. You can go to New Hope Wesleyan with Grandma and Grandpa and Uncle Brian and Aunt Heidi, or you can find several local churches that I know of in the area that are good. And I gave him a list of churches to look into, and he's trying to settle into one. And as always, my kids know that I'm only a phone call away and 4.5 hours from their doorstep. And knowing where to go and where to call for simple issues is important. When it comes to spiritual issues and things in life that are out of our control or beyond our understanding, there's only one place for us to turn. Psalm 46, 1 through 7 says, God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake in their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, and she will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts, and the Lord Almighty is with us, and the God of Jacob is our fortress. You know, there are many times we try to face life alone, face our struggles head on by ourselves, and it seems like we can't. And you know what? By ourselves, we can't. But when we trust in the Lord and we turn into him and we find him for strength, we can. Whatever comes our way, we can. And you know, here's what's interesting there is it paints this picture of this great city where God is the center and it's all this stuff. But let me remind you of a few things, ladies and gentlemen. God does not live in cities or temples or church buildings built by human hands. He doesn't live in this space. You know, when I prayed earlier, Lord, thank you so much that we can gather as the church in this place. The church building is a building. It's empty and it's hollow all week long. It's empty, it's hollow, other than the fact that there are a few of us here. But when the church comes in, it's like we bring the presence of the Lord with us. And you know what's really cool about that is that God chose not to dwell in buildings or places like this any longer. He did set up his presence in the temple of Solomon. He did reside there, but then he found out there was a better place. And he chose to dwell in us instead. Acts 17:24, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. 2 Corinthians 6:16, for we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. One of the beautiful things is we who have invited Jesus to be our Savior and Lord have a new unshakable foundation in our lives built upon Jesus Christ and what he's able to do, what he has done, and what he promises to do. That nothing can shake us and knock us to the ground if we stand with him. We're not going to crumble. It's never going to fall over or fail. The wall of protection for us is so high and so thick that it encompasses every aspect of our lives. And we have the perfect foundation to build our lives on today, our futures tomorrow, and our eternities, because we have Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. You know, my old house has two types of foundations. The original main section was built sometime in like 1880s, 1890-ish, okay? It's old, and it's got that wonderful limestone basement underneath it. Anybody else have a limestone basement under their house? And when it's damp and it's wet, you get that wonderful smell of limestone rotting out from underneath you. It's like, praise God, this is fantastic. And when you combine that with the box elder bugs and the ladybugs decomposing in the basement, that smell is just fantastic, and it just leaches up through that part of the house. The other part of my house, from the kitchen over, has got a nice concrete/poured wall. It's fantastic. It's strong. It's stable. Everything's level on that side of the house. And when we bought the house, we noticed there was this incredible slope that took place. And so we had Dick Immel come over, and he looked at it, and he goes, We wanted the stairway fixed, but he goes, you got bigger problems than a stairway that needs fixed. He says, we got to start at the bottom and work our way to the top. And so he and Ron Sauer ripped out everything all the way to the top so that it could take the weight off the bottom. And we spent like 6 weeks fixing floor joists, jacking up the house, getting it up into place. And just when we thought we had it where it was supposed to be, the floor jack busted through the floor and it broke out the concrete. And I was like, oh, and he made me dig a giant hole and fill it with concrete. And I'm like, man, I got to mix concrete in my basement to make this all work. And I'm going through all of this stuff. But when it was all said and done and we had a new foundation set and we had everything in its proper place, he then began to construct the stairway to the second floor, not the stairway to heaven, but, you know, my wife thought it was pretty awesome and heavenly when it was done. And he built this non-creaking stairway that is so strong that my wife says, when the storms come, we don't go to the basement. We're going to run and get in the stairway because that's the most stable place that there is. Hide under the stairs, right? And we laugh about it because we know that the rest of the house will blow down, but that staircase is going to be there forever. It's never going to move because someone came in and rebuilt everything from the bottom up. And, you know, I think one of the things that we have to remember is that sometimes God has to rebuild us from the bottom up. And it's painful, and it's going to take time, and it's going to take a lot of work and a lot of patience, not just on his part, but ours as well. But when it's done, it's going to be done right. And, you know, Deanne knows that when the tornado sirens and alerts go off, she knows where to run, and she runs and hides under the stairs. I go out and sit on the front porch because I figure if a tornado is going to get me, it's going to get me, and I like storms. But where are you hiding when the storms come in your life? Where do you run to? Where do you turn when life becomes uncertain? Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Now, the question is God your refuge and your strength and your ever-present help in trouble? Or are you more interested in Googling on Facebook what is best? Rumor has it that they might limit what your options are as being able to see what is best, whether they like it or not. Do you know where to turn? Psalm 91, 1-6, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. You know, I don't know what half of those things are, but I do know this. It sounds like if we put our trust in God and we hold securely to Jesus Christ and we trust the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, one of the most awesome things that happens can happen for us. We can sleep good at night and we can walk faithfully trusting Him. You know, I thought about this and I thought, okay, I need to find something really good to help show what this looks like. That he's going to protect us and he's going to love us. And so I got this picture for you guys so all the gals can go, aw, look at that. Isn't that cute? You got the mama goose protecting her babies. Isn't that sweet? Yeah, now, Janelle reminded me that it was duck season right now, so it's not good for duck and geese happening right now. But maybe this is protecting them from Daniel. There we go. But you know what? The crazy thing about it is God shelters over our lives. He protects us. He cares about us. He loves us. Psalm 105, 4-6 says, look to the Lord in his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he's pronounced. O descendants of Abraham, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. You know, what's interesting is this, because we have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, and we've trusted him for our life, because he's the Son of God who died on the cross for our sins and was raised from the dead and sits at the right hand of the Father and is coming back. We have an incredible amount of hope, and we're part of this really cool thing. We are part of the descendants of Abraham who followed him by faith as well. And everything that was given to them is given to us. But the only way to receive all the Lord has for you is to stay close enough to receive it from his nail-scarred hands. And the only way that we are protected is by staying close to our protector. Far too often, like a little kid running way ahead and they're running up to the intersection ahead of you and you're like going, ugh, stop! And the kid like, why? Just as a truck goes to the intersection. You know, a lot of times we run so far ahead of the Lord that we can't even hear when he speaks. And that's weird because the Holy Spirit's inside of us and speaks for him. But the only way for him to grab us, pull us in, pull us back, and put us behind him is if we're sticking by his side. The old song, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the one I love. We do that a lot, don't we? We go about our own way. I put down the kind of like the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost nut, and the prodigal son. Lost sheep wanders off and gets lost, and Jesus has to go looking. The lost coin falls down in the cracks and disappears, and the lady had to sweep the floor to find it. The prodigal son went off and did his own thing and came back, and he was unworthy, but the Lord received him back. You know, sometimes we get lost and we need to come back. You know, I've got this annoying thing. Now, I don't know about you guys, but if you're working on a car and you're laying on your back underneath it and you drop something, where does it always go? Just out of reach. It's the most annoying thing on the planet. I was working on a car the other day, and in the center of my floor, I've got about the size of the top of this pulpit, I've got this cover that goes over some tubes that have a fan on the outside to pull paint fumes out and stuff if I paint something. And there is a hole in it big enough that I can stick my finger in and lift it up and slide it out. Right? So the other day, I had searched and I found the only nut that I could find that would fit on this part. And I'm under there and I'm trying to get it on there and everything, and I dropped it. Now, what are the chances that this 9/16 nut is going to fit through a hole that big around when you're laying on your back under a car working? What are the chances? 100%, that is true. It hit the floor, and LeBron James bounced that baby right in the hole. It cleared it. Swish. I was like, are you kidding me? I couldn't do that if I tried. It was lost, and I had to go digging for it. In the pit where all the dirt and the grime and the junk goes to lay. Because it was the only one I had. You know what? Some of us are that stupid lost nut in the world, and God has to go digging through the dirt and the grime and the mess to get us back. Because we're the only one that'll do for him. Because he loves every one of you that much. He's willing to dig in the muck and the grime and pull things back. And it's like, what are the chances that we're going to sin and fall short of the glory of God? 100%. Scripture tells us we have. And how many people need Jesus to be their Savior and Lord? 100%. And what has he done to make that possible? He's given 100% to make it possible. But unfortunately, most of the time we wander. And we need to come back, and we need to stay close, and we need to stay by his side, not run ahead of him, not run away from him, but to stay right with him. 1 Peter 5:6-11 says, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, the devil, not God. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. He is the one alone who can make sense of life for you and restore it to what it should be and could have been before sin entered into our world and into our lives. So I got 7 things I'm going to suggest for you, all right? We're here, we're coming in, final approach to the landing, all right? When things get tough and we have to stand with and stand for Jesus Christ, do it by his side. It's the safest place and easiest place for him to protect you. And the first thing we need to do is we need to humbly remain before God. We need to surrender fully to him as both Savior and Lord. You know what? When we listen, and we're not in charge, okay? We're not in charge. He's supposed to be in charge of our lives. He is the one to direct our paths. He's the one who makes it straight. He's the one who sees ahead and knows where we need to go. He is to be in charge, and we're going to remain before him and close to him because he is the one who is able to be able to direct and guide and lead our lives, but we have to listen to him. The second thing we need to do is we need to unhinder ourselves from sin and from worry. We need to cast it all at his feet and say, God, deal with this because I can't. When sin comes your way, say, Lord, please deliver me from this sin. Don't let me fall into the trap of the devil again. You remember, Satan is walking around looking to devour people who are outliers. It's always that poor little lame gazelle that's out on the edge of the fringe that gets picked off in the good old safari movies by the lions. Unprotected, you can't win. A foot by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know what? So many times we keep picking up the sin over and over again. And God waits patiently and says, are you getting tired yet? Are you getting tired of going back to the pit again and again? And you know what? Here's one of the great things. When you stop listening to all the things that the world is throwing at you, trying to make you afraid and scared and make you worry whether it's the sky has fallen or not, and you focus on him, life gets to be so much easier and better. You know, it's funny. When I listen to Christian radio, my perspective is a whole lot different than when I listen to the news and what the oldie station is throwing my way. And I'm less tempted by sin when I'm listening to Christian radio than I am when I'm listening to good old 1980s hair band music. Come on now, those are the best years. Back when we had hair and they had great music. But when you're so focused on the world and everything, it keeps you from what God wants. But you have to be willing to let go and let go of it and pick up what God is desiring from your life. So you got to unhinder yourself from sin and from worry. And, you know, number three, you got to stay out of the path of the devil and avoid sin at all cost. Like Joseph, who ran from Potiphar's wife. Now, let me tell you, more than likely, Potiphar's wife was probably the hottest chick in the kingdom. And it would have been easy for him to give in to the hottest chick in the kingdom. But instead, Joseph ran. And he ran. And even in doing right, it still cost him everything. But he did what was right, and God honored that. And we wonder why God doesn't honor when we do wrong. We need to run from sin and stay out of the path of the devil and quit playing. We've all seen little kids do that. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. Or don't cross the burgundy stripe at Awana. What do you think happens when I say don't cross the burgundy stripe? If you want to know, ask Bryson Bunn. He always runs up here and sits on the step. And I'm like, kick him off the step. I knew I'd work Bryson in here somehow. But stay out of the way and out of the path of the devil. Number four, pay attention to what God is saying and do it. Isaiah 30, 19 through 21. O people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear the voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. You know, the incredible thing is if you have an excuse that you've been using that says, I don't know what God wants me to do, maybe you need to shut up and listen. Because if you are a Christian and you have the Holy Spirit in you, He's always whispering and saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. And if you have any questions, consult His Word, and He will show you how to survive and where to go and what to do. And more than likely, you'll find out the fifth thing, which is that you will need to stand with God firmly rooted in your faith. Stand with God firmly rooted in your faith. Ephesians 6:10-14. Finally, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in its place. You know what? There was nothing wrong with Peter carrying a sword. There was nothing wrong with Peter following Jesus into the garden. There was nothing wrong with Peter wanting to defend the Lord. But when things went wrong is when Peter acted without the Lord's permission and he cut off the dude's ear. And the Lord said, put it away, stop it. And he heals the guy's ear. That'd have been cool to see. I mean, that'd be like Mr. Potato Head live right there, baby. He'd put that ear back on. It'd be so cool to see. But you know what's amazing is he acted without the Lord's permission. And that wasn't permissible. And don't forget that God's doing miracles in our lives and He's putting us back together. And we need to stand firm in our faith with Him, right by His side, wherever He would be, is where we need to be. Sixth thing, remember that you don't stand alone. You don't stand alone. God's been standing with you and for you long before you even knew Him. Psalm 121:1-8 says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade and your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore. Since the creation of the world, He has not been unaware of the devil and his schemes and man and their sin. He hasn't been unaware of our need. Matter of fact, He met our need and He is there to be our strength and provider and care for us every step of every day. But we must remember that we don't stand alone and we stand with Him and we take Him everywhere we go. And what's awesome is this. I mentioned it earlier. You have to remember who stands with you. God stands with you all the time. Those who came before us, those mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, men and women who stood by faith for God and lived for Him, and even though they didn't receive the great reward that they were promised at that time, they will receive it in due time. And they set an example for each and every one of us, and we need to remember that even though they're dead, they stand with us and stand for us. And you know what? We need to remember that we stand with and for one another as a body of believers. I love where it says that the other people stand with you and stand firm with you. You see, ladies and gentlemen, God loves you and wants to see you through whatever storms you're facing. Now, here's the problem that I've found. A lot of times I create my own storms. And His job would be a whole lot easier if I didn't work against Him so much. So Don't work so hard to make God show up, all right? He's there. But remember, he stands with you and for you. And there are others who have gone through the same thing that you can turn to, then ask, how did you do this? And the faithful people who follow Jesus are going to say, well, the only way I was able to get through it was because of the Lord. And hopefully they will walk with you through your difficult times. But remember that God the Father sent his Son who died on the cross so that he could redeem you from the pit of sin, so that he could free you from sin, death, and hell forever. And he gave you the Holy Spirit as a still small voice to empower you to do what is right. But you're going to have to listen close. You're going to have to stand firm. And whatever you're facing will get better in due time. And the best way to get to the best place in time is to stand with Jesus no matter what. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the fact that we are never alone. It's kind of creepy and scary, but it is also reassuring that no matter what we face, we are not on our own, left to our own devices, but we are left into the perfect hands of Jesus. They are scarred from years of work as a carpenter, but they are scarred from a difficult, difficult death on a cross. And because of the fact that you, Lord Jesus, have died for us and raised from the dead for us, we have a living hope that gives us the ability to face anything that comes our way. And Lord, as your people, we choose to face that with you. We desire to stand with you and not against you. We desire to stand sheltered and protected by you in the midst of whatever storm or trial or trouble we will face. And Lord, may we be wise enough to run like Joseph when sin and the devil comes our way. There is no problem with being a coward when it comes to sin and the devil. We need to run back to the only one who can protect us. And that's you, Lord Jesus. So we come before you and we acknowledge the fact that all too often we indulge ourselves in sin, even though it costs you your life. Please forgive us for our sins and our failures. And Lord God, I just ask that we would learn what it means to stand fast with you, to stand strong with you, and to trust you in the midst of the chaos and the mess. Because in the shelter of your protection and your love and your mercy and your grace is the safest place for any of us to be. And for that, Lord Jesus, we give you thanks and we give you praise. And it's your wonderful name that all God's people said. Amen. Let us stand as we sing our closing song.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you today that even though things are tough, they're going to get better. They might get rough because the battle's not done yet. Skirmishes take place every day. But one of the beautiful things is that we don't fight alone. Live for Him. Lean into Him. And find hope and peace in Him. Let's pray. Father God, thank You so much that we are Yours. Even though it seems like the world's falling apart, we're not. Because our future and our hope and our glory is found only in You. And if everything that we have is lost or taken, it does not matter. For what we have in You will never pass away or fade or be stolen from us. So may we put our hope and our trust and our assurance in You, because that is the best place to be. Lord, and take these tithes and these offerings that we give and use them to further Your kingdom so that all might know You and love You and serve You. In the wonderful and precious name of Jesus, all God's people said, amen. Have a great week, folks. We'll see you.